Looks like everybody remained seated. Excellent. I don't blame you. It's a good day to sit. I'm telling you, it's nap day. I hope everyone gets to go home and take a nap after you help Dave move the stuff out of the library. Go home and take a nap. The scripture today is from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Rome, in the last days and years of Paul's life, was not an awesome place for those who were not of the elite and loyal Roman sect. In the years of Emperor Nero's reign, those that followed different religions were often gathered up to live in ghettos or expelled from the city altogether. Jews, Greeks, Christians, anyone who was deemed different was deemed less than. Now, for those that do not know a lot about Nero, we're going to have a little bit of a history lesson. And for those who might know Nero well, it doesn't hurt to have a refresher. In no uncertain terms, Nero was insane. The city of Rome was configured not too much differently than it was today, and at the time, the imperial palace sat on the Palatine Hill, which is actually where we get the name palace from the Palatine. Each emperor had a circus, which was a long horseshoe-shaped arena where they would host games and expositions. The circus of Nero was up on the Vatican Hill, which is why the Vatican is called as such. In his circus, Nero would round up Christians and execute them for sport. You know, when we're watching sporting events, especially if you're live, and during commercial breaks, the cheerleaders will come out and do a routine, or the dance troupe, perhaps they'll come out with a t-shirt cannon and shoot t-shirts into the crowd. Well, during Nero's commercial breaks, he would execute Christians. And this is actually how Peter died. Peter had been convicted of a crime, the crime of Christianity, and he had been taken out, crucified upside down during one of these sporting breaks, thrown over the wall of the necropolis, which is where he lays this day, right underneath the altar at St. Peter's. Now, Nero felt that the palace on the giant hill was not big enough for him. The ruins are still there, and I can tell you that they are plenty big enough from personal experience. But anyway, Nero wanted to build a new palace, one made of gold. And although it has never been uncovered, and I think it's because the people of Rome feel that it's not such a great part of their history, it is now a hill that's covered with grass and trees and forgotten. But part of this golden palace, he wanted to have a reflecting pool. And on top of that reflecting pool, there happened to be, for lack of a better word, to put it into our context, kind of a project where a lot of the poor people lived. But they were in the way of his reflecting pool. So there was mysteriously a fire in Rome in which that project burned down and he could build his reflecting pool. Today, that reflecting pool is the Colosseum. So if you know where that's at, or if you can imagine that, that at one time held many poor people, Jews, Greeks, Christians of the age. It is with all of this in mind that Paul wrote his epistle to the Romans. The people were suffering and struggling to find God through their experiences. Paul reminded the people that God is a God of hope. Paul gave the people of the first century Rome a way to turn their suffering into the best versions of themselves. Their faith allowed them to do that. Their knowledge in the truth of Christ allowed them to hear Paul's words. Their faith in what they knew of Jesus Christ allowed them to improve their strength in the Spirit. You see, Paul took the suffering that he knew the people had and gave them a way to use it to strengthen their connection to Christ. For Paul, patience developed strength of character, which helped build trust in God, which makes hope and faith strong and steady. Megan, will you put the picture up of the pottery? In Japan, there is a form of pottery that has been around for centuries, and it's called kintsugi. Broken pottery is fixed with gold, making the piece not only whole and not only beautiful, but stronger. When I was a kid, I broke a plate by accident. For their wedding, my parents had received a set of sandstone dishes, and we used them for everyday dining when I was a kid. I was probably 5 and was helping set the table, and I set a plate down. Not too hard, I mean, I was 5. But it broke in half, cracked right in half. And one of my parents attempted to use glue to fix the plate, and it did an okay job. But it never gained its full strength and capacity. The glue just wasn't enough. When we try to take over, when we take away our faith in Christ, our brokenness is like glue. The pieces come back together, and if we're careful and don't put too much pressure on ourselves, we might stay together. The glue is okay. It gets the job done. But it's not the best. But when we remember Christ, and when we remember him in our brokenness, and when we remember to allow Christ to work within us and through us, our broken pieces come back together and are stronger than before. Our ideas are the glue, but Christ is the gold. Suffering is going to happen in life. We are biodegradable beings with free will, surrounded by other biodegradable beings with free will. There's going to be suffering in our lives. The idea of no pain, no gain is a popular saying, especially in sports. In life, however, I find that it isn't really the best analogy. God does not wish us to suffer. God does not wish to put us through the grinder in order to show our love and our dedication. It gives unrealistic expectations of God's mercy and grace. If we just sit here in our plight, we will eventually gain entrance into heaven. Paul's advancement that suffering produces endurance, which produces character, which produces hope, reminds us that we need not waste the suffering. We cannot ignore it. We must learn from it. Our suffering in life reminds us that in hope there is no disappointment, because our hope brings us to the love of God. Ignoring it or wasting it leads down a darker path, one that Yoda taught us about. You all know Yoda, I'm sure, out of Star Wars. He's a good guy. When we do not have hope, we often have fear. And fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. But not the suffering that produces hope, but a suffering that causes more pain and more suffering. We cannot afford to waste our experiences of suffering in wallowing and forgetting that God is with us in every turn. The hope we gain through suffering also gives us peace. Real peace, though, is not something that we just wake up with one day without putting effort in. When it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ, real peace is active. It is a verb. Real peace comes from the blood, sweat, and tears of our cultivation in our relationship with Christ. It means that we have to have constant contact with our Lord. We are all in charge of building our relationship, keeping and sustaining the connection. There are so many ways to do this. We can pray every day. We can take a walk or a ride around through God's creation, noticing the active presence of God in the things and the people that we see. We can give back to those in need through different organizations, like soup kitchens, and see the face of God on each person that we serve. Perhaps it's bridging a gap between warring family members or friends. Perhaps it is sticking up for those who are being bullied or kept on the outskirts of society. Through the suffering of this world, we must all find the peace of Christ at work. Through the brokenness of this world, we must set aside the glue, the dried-out tube that doesn't have the right chemistry to adhere to this kind of break. For the gold, the strong, beautiful, and priceless Jesus Christ. Amen.